So there's a fascinating medrash about the wagons. A lot of attention and excitement in recordings about Nusso because a lot of people are still reading Nusso and Chutz La'aretz. They'll be flipping back and forth the next couple weeks till everyone catches up between the Israeli Parsha and the Chutz La'aretz Parsha, with an emphasis on the Israeli Parsha. I don't want people to feel that they're a little bit connected to Eretz Yisrael. But let's go back to Nusso. And there's so much attention placed on the plates and the cups and the wine holders and the animals and the gold and the silver and the weights and the, because that's what we know about Parshas Nusso. Those are the reason that Parshas Nusso has so many pesukim, because each and every shevet has their common but different, because it's given by someone different, carbon delineated. That's what takes so much time. What we're less attuned to, we're a little bit less attuned to the wagons. So there are six wagons, and Moshe distributes them based on those parts of Shevet Levi that have more work, less work. Of course, Kehas, the three tribes of Levi, three clans, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. Kehas carries the holy kelim, and they just have to be carried on their shoulders. They don't really need wagons and oxen. And the wagons are distributed, and they don't get the same mention. They're not delineated one per tribe, because of course there are only six wagons and 12 oxen, so since there's only six wagons. So the Medrash has two very interesting comments on why the wagons are not as prominently featured. One of them is that Moshe didn't really appreciate the need for the wagons. The karbanos, the plates, and the materials, and the kataras, those are all very ceremonial. There's a lot of pageantry and all the symbolism. So this is, as we say, right up Moshe's alley. But wagons are very technocratic and pragmatic and logistical. And Moshe, at least the way the Medrash suggests, either wasn't as attuned to the logistics or felt that maybe you don't need wagons. Maybe all the carrying should be performed on people's shoulders to show reverence and to show respect. And it's in that sweet spot between reverence and respect and pragmatism that the Nesiim point to. The position of the Medrash is not just the Nesiim, but it's the Nasi of Yisachar. They tell Moshe, there's got to be a better balance between pragmatism and idealism, between the reverence of Klei HaMikdash. Okay, so the very sacred ones, the Aron, the Menorah, they can't be carried on wagons. In the days of David, we see the failure to carry them on wagons that touch the Aron. But some of the other materials, boards and sockets and yarns and tent coverings, they should be loaded onto wagons. So part of the emergence of the wagons is just logistics and pragmatism and being wedded to idealism. What's so fascinating is it's the tribe of Yisachar, who are typically known for their more abstract thinking. They're involved in teaching Torah, they're involved in mathematical calculations of astronomy, which seems to be very, very abstract. And it's specifically this Shevet and Nisan el-Ben-Suar who comes up with the idea of wagons. But part of it, and this is a really tantalizing medrash, is Moshe's concerned that the wagons will break or the animals will get maimed or hurt. And therefore, he doesn't want the Shevatim to be donating or the Nesiim to be donating. Maybe there should be wagons. Maybe there should be oxen drawing the wagons, but there shouldn't be part of donations representing tribes. Now, the Medrash talks about a logistical or practical concern, because then that tribe whose animal will be maimed or hurt or will be sidelined will no longer have full representation, will be hurt. Seems like Moshe's concerned for the sympathies and the sensitivities of the various tribes. So let's say Naphtali's animal or Naphtali's half wagon, or six wagons, the two Shvatim contributed to each wagon, would be damaged, then Naphtali would feel awful. But it seems as if, and this is a very, very intriguing matter, it seems as if there's something else going on, that Moshe is comfortable with the Nesiim donating materials, because materials don't get ruined. They're ceremonious, especially the gold and the silver and the plates and the spices. They're probably placed in some showcases where they lasted a good long time, and there's no... It seems as if Moshe is concerned about something a little bit different. And the materials, and sorry, I was interrupted, so there's a bit of a disconnect. The materials, the gold, the silver, the spices, they can be stored away, placed in showcases, and there's no harm that will come to them. They're perfect, and they'll remain perfect and pristine and unblemished. But the hard-working animals and heavy-carrying wagons, they're going to be broken. They're going to break down. Cars break down. Wagons break. Wheels go. Animals get hurt, stuck in the mud. So you need animals. You need wagons. But should they be? Should it be part of the religious ceremony? Should they be donated by the Nesiim? Should they receive the same fanfare? Because they're just going to break down. And I think part of what the Nesiim, the lesson they provide to Moshe, the lesson they provide to us, is that, you know, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu two different ways, with those parts of our lives that remain pristine and pure and holy and unblemished and unfragmented, and then with our broken spare parts, with the parts of our lives that don't function, and our worlds that don't function, and our moments that don't function, and our breakdowns. And so the Nesiim donating wagons and animals that could fall apart or fall into disrepair during the process, it's part of the lesson in how we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, my apologies, I was interrupted in the middle, but I think that's part of what the Medrash is trying to convey.